Welcome. This is a monthly show where we share tales of joy, fear, regret, love, pain, faith, and whatever else we can find to talk about. It occurs to me that so much of who I am as a person of faith is directly related to who I happen to be walking with on the spiritual journey of life. And that's what this podcast is all about. Hearing and sharing the stories of those we meet on the way. My name is Greg Knight. I'm in Palm Beach, Florida, and this is the Companions Podcast. Seems fitting to start our first episode with a special episode. We'll be hearing from five missionaries who recently took a trip from Church of Bethesda by the Sea to San Pedro Sula, Honduras, to volunteer at Our Little Roses, a home for girls. This will be longer than most of our upcoming episodes and feature more voices, but I wanted to capture the different experiences and perspectives of the mission team. First up is Rick Meesaw, who explains the history of Our Little Roses and the purpose of the Bethesda Group's mission.
Hello, this is a conversation about our 13th group trip to Honduras. There were 13 people in our group this year, and we went to Our Little Roses in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. Our Little Roses was founded 26 years ago by Diana Frade, and at the time Bishop Frade of Honduras, now retired Bishop Frade from the Diocese of Southeast Florida. Having gone to the home for 13 years now, has been very remarkable. We have enjoyed watching the girls grow and progress, and the transformation is incredible. Every year is different. We get to see who the new girls are. Unfortunately, it's a problem that will probably never go away. Diana receives new girls each year through the court systems. Girls are rescued from horrible abandonment, abuse. They're awarded to Diana, where she assumes full custodial responsibility for the girls. It's not an adoption center. It's not a foster home. It's actually an orphanage. The girls live there. It's their home. And if they're able to attend school and progress normally and receive all of the care that the home provides for them, then they have a place to live until they're 18. And beyond that, it's their decision to stay in the home. They can continue on to university, job training, where they have a transition program, and the girls transition into adulthood.
Telephone. Team member Mary Murphy.
Day one. 13 trip members set out on March 10th with 400 tubes of toothpaste, 26 checked bags, 13 donated prom dresses, over 10 pounds of books, several dozen leaflets of prayer, and a whole lot of excitement for the 12th annual mission trip to Our Little Roses in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. With no hassles at the airport, we boarded our flight and landed in Honduras around 1:30 a.m. A new driver from Our Little Roses, Ruben, was waiting to pick us up outside the airport. When we arrived at Our Little Roses, it was about 3 a.m., and we were all very tired. It was 4 a.m. East Coast time, and many of us were running on little sleep. We quickly unloaded all the luggage off the bus and shuffled into the apartment, eager for a few hours of sleep before a physically and emotionally tiring adventure that would start the next morning. About half of us were early to rise to see all the girls off to school and to watch all the other school children arrive at the Holy Family Bilingual School on property. After a nice round of morning prayer and a hearty 8 a.m. breakfast, we were given our task for the day. Repainting the girls' bedrooms, beginning with the fairly large room that houses about 16 girls. The walls were a dark green that cast a heavy spell on the room, so we got right to work with a bucket of white paint.
Do we need extra paint?
Yes. Mike's talking about a third coat.
After moving around 8 or 9 bunk beds and searching for equipment, such as drop cloths, paint rollers, and bottled water, we painted all the walls. We were done with the first coat around 11:45 and proceeded to lunch in a very comfortable, air-conditioned room. Miriam cooked for us. Each meal so far, breakfast and lunch, has been accompanied by a delicious assortment of papaya, pineapple, and melon. While all the girls were in school today, we did see quite a few students during their lunch hour and hours, and also got a chance to interact with one of the classes. The second grade class is practicing English, and the teacher mentioned how they love to have stories read to them. A few of us introduced ourselves to the class, sat down, and read them a story.
Welcome to our classroom, Tilda.
Thank you.
Afterward, the students were encouraged to have a conversation with us, asked us questions about where we were from, our favorite things, and our family. It was such a great reprieve from the painting, not that painting isn't fun, to interact with the girls. After a reading session with the second grade class, it was back to work. Painting on second coats, trimming all the doors, and putting everything back in its place. As soon as we were finished, all the girls were home from school, and we finally had some time to play with them. A new foosball table, some arts and crafts, rocking chairs, and Google glasses kept all the girls busy and entertained. But mostly they just wanted to talk to us. It's like when very distant relatives come to visit. You might not remember their names, but it's still very exciting. Our hard-working group very quickly faded as people scattered off to put paint supplies away, shower and change, or talk to some of the Tias. We ate a hearty dinner and then had the whole evening to relax with the girls. We watched several movies, played games, and let the girls braid our hair. Well, some of us. It had been a full day and we were all ready to turn in after a quick session of evening prayer.
Watching the girls progress from day one, they come into the home, they're extremely distressed, depending on the type of abuse they've suffered, whether it's physical, mental. They take quite a time, usually about a year, to shed some of the visible damages from that abuse, and then over the years, they work on the psychological and those deep wounds that heal only with time. And once we can bury those with happy memories and encounters with loving, caring visitors to the home, they establish relationships with the other girls in the home. And with that, they're able to recover and carry on and progress. So the girls attend school. They try to come up to speed with whatever their age and what their normal grade would be. They're taught to read and write. They're taught how to bathe and care for themselves and eat at a table and use knife, fork, and spoons. Things that we would just take for granted that all of our children would know how to do from day one, but it's only because we teach them and they come from a home where they can actually observe adults and hopefully be taught by adults. So these girls come in and they're assessed by a psychologist. They go through intensive training very early on where they're brought into the home, and they learn to live what we would think is a normal life, as normal as possible, and they face the challenges day to day. The girls are also taught other skills, cooking, wood carving, housekeeping, and these types of things we take for granted also that you would learn by just watching your father or your parents around the house. As the girls progress in the home, they're assigned chores. They're given special permissions to attend a sewing class. They have an on-site woodworking teacher 5 days a week. and they eventually help out in the kitchen, which is another source of pride and accomplishment for them. They go to school, depending on their ability and the funding for the home, they attend a public school, which still comes at a price for the home because they have to buy uniforms, they have to buy all of the required accessories for that particular school. They also have to arrange for transportation and food during the day. While we're at the home, we try to get up very early. The bus leaves between 6:30 and 6:45 in the morning. They usually have about 20 girls in the bus, and they go to about 3 or 4 different schools, and we enjoy dropping them off, saying goodbye to them, embarrassing them in front of their friends, and letting them know that we care about them. And it's really quite a special privilege to be able to go and see that and interact that way with them.
Yeah. And the boy's name? Julian. Right? Okay. Next page.
Would team you member, Ross Lavin.
I wondered, did the trees get any taller? Because I could see wisps of mist at the tops that looked like clouds. We arrived at the retreat center about 4 in the afternoon, surrounded by these tall, beautiful trees. After we unloaded our bags from the bus, we assembled in the courtyard and took a walk to the Pueblecito, down a dirt path and across a rickety old bridge. There were 14 girls from Our Little Roses and 13 adults from Bethesda, and our leader Rick reminded us not to wander off from the group. Some of us had been here before. The town was so small you could walk one end to the other in about 20 minutes. The little shops were active with women making tortillas and some men fixing the little red taxis that looked like three-wheeled go-karts. The locals were a little intrigued with us, but when we greeted them in their native Spanish, they smiled and were happy for us to be there. We climbed the hills on the curvy streets, and we admired the river and landscape. One of the ladies in our group had just learned how to give a Spanish blessing, and 10 minutes later, when we stopped for water, we found her praying with an old woman who was handicapped and giving her the blessing, Que Dios te bendiga. It was a wonderful afternoon, a little hot, but it rained a little too. I'm not sure if the trees got any taller. Maybe experiencing God's greatness in the Honduran mountains just makes me feel smaller.
This year, we also spent time working with the girls on their homework. It was exams week, midterms, and they were all struggling to try their best to do well on their exams. They were studying English, they were studying math, not a lot of them required help with math, fortunately, for our group. People are pretty surprised when they're invited to go on a trip. They go to Honduras, where they imagine they're going to speak Spanish, and then they're asked if they could please sit down and help one of the girls with their algebra homework. but it's a normal home. So we helped them with their homework, we helped them studying, and it was very nice to see that the girls were working hard, trying to succeed in their classes, and afterwards we were happy to see them come home with a little bit of self-confidence that they had done well and we had actually helped them. With that hard work comes privileges. When we arrive, we go on a field trip, usually an overnight to the retreat center, and the girls who are caught up in their work, who have been performing well in school and doing their chores, are allowed to go with us, similar to an average house where if the kids are behaving well, on a weekend, the family goes out and does something special. So when we arrive, the girls who are in a good spot at that moment are allowed to go with us. Our Little Roses, in 2016, after been in operation for 25 years, is still the only full-time orphanage for girls. The groups are a blessing for the home, but they also cause a significant amount of work. We have learned what we can do to truly help the home and fit in while we're there so that we can be reasonably assured that we're not disrupting the home too much. If you can imagine 13 visitors coming into your home with gifts, with ideas, with some ideas on how they're going to fix up your house, take you out for dinner, maybe go out for a field trip, all the while you have your typical routine, it's quite disruptive, but it's a welcome disruption. It's a welcome departure. The groups do come down to the home. Typically, the count is somewhere near 18 groups support our little roses. If there's 52 weeks in a year and there's 18 groups, they have a visiting group about every third week of the year. Typically, those are clustered in the summer. There's several back-to-back groups. Every week, there's a group. We're out of school here in the United States, and the girls are also out of school down in Honduras, so it's a convenient time for a lot of youth to travel. Spring break, right around Christmas break, holidays, a lot of groups cluster their trips, so there's back-to-back groups during certain times of the year. And then that leaves big wide openings when sometimes there's 2 or 3 months when there's no groups visiting. We have new people each year. We have repeat visitors each year. It's really a privilege to watch new visitors arrive and discover what it means to be a team member and to participate in the work that's going on at the home. We don't just visit and see what's going on. We step right in and participate. We help.
Team member Carrie Meesaw.
As our third day started, we enjoyed the view from the retreat center. Sitting on the porch, overlooking the flowers, there was a beautiful breeze. A delicious breakfast was prepared by Sandra. After we ate, we gathered in the chapel for morning prayer. Thanks were given to and from our 15 girls who went with us to the retreat center. A special thanks were given to Rick and Cordella for bringing us all together and the many blessings around us. We had one last walk before our bus ride back. Across the way, there was a field where frisbee and soccer were a great team effort. The music and singing on the bus ride back was fun for all. Upon our return to our little roses, a beautiful service was held in the chapel by Bishop Friday.
El Señor sea con ustedes. Padre bondadoso, cuyo bendito Hijo Jesucristo descendió del cielo para ser el pan verdadero que da vida al mundo.
To see the participation from the girls was us watching God's work. Our Little Roses has a junior daughter's order. Carrie and Marty, who are senior daughters, had their picture taken with Diana, Bishop Friday, and the junior daughters. Diana relayed that they are going to the retreat center next week with the junior daughters, who will be doing the first three stations of the cross. We watched the rehearsal the night before, and their passion was a positive force. A relaxing evening was enjoyed with crafts, games, and movies with the girls. It was a beautiful day with God presence everywhere.
Property changes from year to year. This year we were surprised to see the construction underway for the second floor on the building that the girls live in. Each year we see the evidence that other groups have been there, whether it's a mural painted on the wall or a fresh coat of paint in the study hall or someone just reorganized all of the material in the sewing room. So we see evidence that other groups are there, and hopefully we leave the same evidence behind when we leave. I've actually written letters for the next visiting team members, bringing them up to date on what we accomplished. Maybe we left off and didn't finish something completely, and if they have time, I ask them if they could finish it, or if there's a girl who needs particular help, I'll leave them a note and tell them that we spent considerable time with one of the girls, and maybe she didn't get to go on the field trip with us, so would you please try to spend some more time with her? And that adds a little bit of continuity. I like to think that that helps.
Queasy.
Team member, Greg Knight. Day 4. Boy, did I pick a bad day to get sick. Been coming on these mission trips for 3 years, and the stomach bug finally got me. I missed a trip to the San Pedro Sula marketplace. I missed a full day of time with the girls and more painting. However, I was able to tough it out on a trip to Bishop Friday and Diana's house later that evening. The pool is lovely in the Honduras heat. It's always hard to reconcile the world these girls have come from with the carefree nature of kids at play and fools. And yet there they are. Silly girls, doing dives and flips with no worries. What a blessing. Now if only I could shake this stomach bug in time to join everyone else for dinner.
Sometimes people have a need to hear some more details about the abuse that the girls suffer and are rescued from. We're really not privileged to that information. It's certainly not a subject that we ever discuss with the girls. But over the years, having led trips and kept in touch with the girls, the staff, I have indirectly heard some of the stories, and usually not which girl it actually pertains to. Diana shares those with our group when they visit, just to remind everybody that these are true stories. These are actual people. It's not just something you see in a movie. And so some of those stories are quite disturbing. One girl was being used like an animal by her parents, and they were out. They lived out in the woods, and this girl, who was 6 or 7 years old at the time, was trained to climb trees to retrieve fruit, to pick mangoes. And they would live out in the woods, and they would use her daily to climb trees, retrieve fruit. They would either eat it or sell it. And that's how the family survived in very primitive conditions. As can be expected, there was an accident, and the girl fell out of the tree, and she had a horrible fracture, multiple compound fractures. And they looked at her, realized that she was no longer of use, and they left her. They left her basically to die in the woods and just walked away. They couldn't care for her, and she could no longer serve a purpose. So she was lying there screaming. They walked away. Someone else came along and heard her screams, rescued her, took her to the hospital, where she was given medical care, which is quite remarkable. In a country like Honduras, they do have modern hospitals and medical facilities, clinics, but most people do not have access to them. Access being just the ability to get there. There is no 911. Ambulances are for the elite, and they're private cars. So she was rescued. She was taken to the hospital, and she received medical care. And as she was being nursed back to health, a woman arrived who really took a liking to her on the hospital staff, and brought her a few toys, brought her some comfort, some toys, some clothes, and sat and talked with her. As she was recuperating in the hospital, another woman arrived who claimed to be a family member and wanted to see her niece. They allowed her up to the room where she proceeded to steal everything that had been given to her by the nurse that was caring for her. After that, she was... they called the courts. She was rescued. They contacted our little Roses. Diana accepted her into the home, received her, welcomed her into the home, and now she's one of the new girls in 2016, and she's doing quite well. There's any number of movies in Hollywood that you can watch. Slumdog Millionaire comes to mind, where you see horrible, horrible treatment of children so that they can go out in the streets and beg. And I personally have met girls who had been extremely abused, physically maimed, so that they could appear to be more desperate, and hopefully they... You know, the person who did this to them was thinking that they would get more money if they begged on the street, if they looked like they were in pain, if they looked like they were ill and had physical disabilities. So those things actually happen. It's hard to believe. It's very unpleasant to even think about or speak about. But it's important to know that these girls have been rescued from horrible abuse, abandonment, and conditions that most of us would not want to even contemplate or think about. So over the years, we've heard from people. They are invited to go on the trip. We know people who we think would really enjoy going on the trips with these teams, visit our little Roses. We know people who had been thinking about doing this for a long time, but had never worked up the courage. By asking them, that little push was all they needed. Other people had never thought about it. It was a completely foreign idea to them, but once asked, they were excited by it, by the idea of doing something like this. Other people we've asked don't have the ability. So it's really important to realize that the people who go on these trips are truly, truly fortunate. They have the financial capacity to pay for the trip. Team members pay for their airfare and their room and board. So you're fortunate if you can afford to pay the cost. You're fortunate if you have a job and a boss who's going to allow you to take time off to go on a trip like this. You're lucky if you have a family who's going to support you and help you walk your dog, get your mail, watch your house while you're gone. You're fortunate if you have the physical ability, if your heart is up to it, if your knees are up to it, if your back is up to it. So we count our blessings each time we go, and we remind everybody that it really is the fortunate people who get to go on trips like this and do things like this and help them realize how fortunate they are.
This is the story of the Bethesda Mission Team to our little Roses in Honduras. Contributors were Rick Meesaw, Ross Lavin, Mary Murphy, Greg Knight, and Carrie Meesaw. Music was provided by Revolution Void with The Narrative Changes, Chris Zabriskie, I Need to Start Writing Things Down, and Jazzar with Friends. This is the Companions Podcast. Thanks for listening.